This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
For many people, the Bible is not an easy book to understand. Even scholars that have made it their life's work to study and understand it have in so many cases come to wrong conclusions or arrived at particular misconceptions. Why do you think that is? How can so many study from the same book, but come to such a plethora of varying and distinctively different understandings? How does this happen? Well, on today's program, we are going to explore these questions and address some keys to helping us avoid making some of these same mistakes when studying our Bibles. We hope these insights will help you to use them as tools to open up a clearer comprehension about what the Bible really has to say. So stay with us as we introduce to you some things to keep in mind when conducting your own personal Bible study.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What we're going to discuss today is how to study your Bible. Now, if you're going to study the Bible, there's a word you need to be aware of, and it's a difficult word. It's hermeneutics. Hermeneutics, let me repeat it. What does hermeneutics mean? Well, basically it means the art and science of studying the Bible, because there can be science involved in studying the Bible. When we looking at the original wording, looking at the history of the Bible, but there's also an art to studying your Bible or interpreting your Bible. And this is evident when you look at all the different commentaries out there on the Bible and the differences between this commentator and that commentator. So a lot of what we think and believe comes into how we're going to interpret the Bible. What I like to say when you begin to study your Bible is to let the Bible interpret itself. That will do you well if you live by that as one abiding principle in studying the Bible. But we want to get into a lot of information today that hopefully will help some of you who have not studied your Bible very much have some ideas on what course to follow as you begin to study your Bible, which we believe is the Word of God. Now, in that word hermeneutics, you hear the word Hermes possibly, and that's where the word is derived from. Who was Hermes, if you remember? He was the messenger of the gods. He would take information from the gods to the people on earth. And that exactly is what hermeneutics does. It tries to interpret the message of God to the people. That's how you get the word hermeneutics. Now, there are a couple different types of hermeneutics. There's a general hermeneutics, which looks at the entire Bible, just interpreting the entire Bible. That's known as general hermeneutics. There's also what is called special hermeneutics. Special hermeneutics deals with the different genres of literature within the Bible. For example, there's history in the Bible. There's a certain way you want to approach history. There's prophecy in the Bible. There's a certain way you want to approach how you interpret prophecy in the Bible. There are parables in the Bible, and they are merely stories that are giving us a spiritual meaning. So we don't want to interpret parables in a literal way. That's one thing to be thinking about when you're looking at parables, but we want to find out what was the spiritual meaning when they told this story or this particular parable. So those are just a little bit of the items that we're going to begin to address on today's program. But before I go any further, I'd like to offer you some free literature and also some free full-length sermon CDs on today's program. What we're offering you today in the form of literature is How to Study Your Bible. Christians know that they should read, study, and obey what is found in the Bible. We've designed this booklet to help you comprehend and retain what you read in the Scriptures. You will learn how to study your Bible, how to avoid common mistakes, and how to mark your Bible. We will also encourage you to blow the dust off your Bible and read it from cover to cover in 365 days. We also want to offer you two full-length sermon CDs titled The Reliability of the New Testament. These CDs will help you realize that you can rely on the New Testament as history and as also doctrine. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Again, 1-888-578-8791, or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. We also have a weekly sermon broadcast that you can view from our website at www.cgi.org. We also have some exciting news to pass along. We have a new CGI Digital Network app, and you can download it from the Apple App Store, from the Google Play Store, or the Amazon App Store. You can also find the CGI Digital Network on Apple TV and Roku. You will find our sermons. You will find our Armor of God program. You will find our literature all on the CGI Digital Network. Get it now. Once again, thanks for joining us on this edition of the Armor of God. We're talking about how to study your Bible. At the top of today's program, we told you about the word hermeneutics and what it means. Once again, it merely means to interpret the Scriptures. And what we want to do on the remainder of today's program is give you some different ideas, kind of a basic 101 course on what you need to be thinking about when you begin to study your Bible. We could spend hours and hours on how to study your Bible. I've only got 20-some minutes left, but hopefully we'll give you enough information that it will interest you in beginning to blow the dust off your Bible and study your Bible. Now, some other terminology that you'll have to keep in mind when you begin to study your Bible, I want to make you aware of that right now. One term that you will hear is canon or canonicity. And we're not talking about armaments or anything like that. What we're talking about is which books of the Bible are believed to be inspired by God. Because there is a debate between the Catholic Church and Protestant churches on which books should be in the Bible. And this is referred to as canonicity or the canon of Scripture. And I don't have time to get into all of that today, but it's important for you to understand that the original Old Testament that the Jewish religious teachers taught from and that Jesus Christ believed in is not what the Catholic Bible has today. There are additional books in the Catholic Bible that were not agreed upon by the original Jewish elders and Jewish teachers that Christ is quoted in the New Testament as agreeing on when he refers to Old Testament scripture. So you need to keep that one in mind and do some research on canonicity to understand about that debate. Another area that you're going to run into when you begin to study the Bible is what is referred to as textual criticism. What is textual criticism? You will find that there are numerous old manuscripts on both the Old Testament and New Testament books. Some of these manuscripts are just partial. They don't even have the whole book there. But here's what you need to be concerned with. In the oldest manuscripts, there are some slight differences between those oldest manuscripts and then manuscripts which came later. So what would happen is the apostle or someone who was working with the apostle would write down exactly what they said, and that's how we got the book of Acts or the book of John. Now, as those particular books began to be passed on, they started to disintegrate and fall apart. So other copies were written up. And in some of those manuscripts, there are slight variations between certain words and certain phrases in some of those original manuscripts versus some of the manuscripts that came later. You need to be aware of these differences as you begin to study your Bible. And I'll make you aware of a couple of those as we go forward. But they have some meaning when we look at what exactly is the Bible saying on certain topics that you can study in your Bible. So be aware of textual criticism. A third area to be aware of in your study of the Bible is what we call historical criticism. And it's not that people are against the Bible when I say criticism. What we mean by criticism there is just more like investigation, trying to understand the history at the time that particular book of the Bible was written. If you know when a particular book of the Bible was written, it helps give you a better context of what you're reading, why they're saying what they are saying. So historical criticism is essential to having a greater understanding of what the Bible is really meaning when you read it and understand it. Now, when you take canonicity, when you take historical criticism, when you take textual criticism, once you look at all these different areas, you can begin to do another fancy word, which is exegesis. So let me explain the word exegesis to you. The ex in exegesis means from the text. The ex is from the text. You're trying to draw knowledge from the text. You're not trying to put your knowledge into the text. And that is important, ladies and gentlemen, because there are commentators, there are theologians, there are teachers and preachers out there who try to put their ideas into the Word of God, and they corrupt the Word of God when they do that. And then they teach others these false ideas about Scripture. We want to draw from Scripture because we believe Scripture comes from God. God spoke through men and prophets, put His Spirit into their mind so they would write the words that God would have us have in his knowledge book, the Bible. So again, exegesis is a term you will become familiar with as you begin to study your Bible and learn from your Bible. Now, there are times when you can read your Bible and just take it for what it says. What we call this is a spontaneous understanding of what you're reading in the Bible. At other times, canonicity, historical criticism, textual criticism. If you're aware of them, they will help you understand certain scriptures in a different way than a spontaneous understanding or reading of the Bible would bring to your mind. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about when I say that. I'm in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 1. Here's what it says, Acts 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta, or Melita in this version. And the barbarous people shewed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeth, suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, I just read this to you, and you can read this like history. This is a story about Paul shaking off this snake into the fire, and I believe it for what it says. Here's the problem. There are Christian denominations in the United States today who have a doctrine that you should take up snakes in your hand because that will prove that you have the faith that God wants you to have. Now, part of their doctrine comes from this scripture. But if you notice this scripture, Paul doesn't say that we should do this, does he? No, it's not there. But they get more for their doctrine from another scripture. And I'm going to turn over to Mark chapter 16 and verse 18. Mark chapter 16 and verse 18. Now, once again, when we read this scripture, it doesn't say to take up snakes to show how much faith you have in God. But let me just read it to you, and then I want to discuss something about it. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, it says this, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Once again, it doesn't say we should take up snakes to prove our faith, but it implies that if you do take up snakes, that you might not be harmed by them. But again, it doesn't get into more detail than that. But here's the thing about this scripture. If we look at historical and textual criticism on this scripture, what you will find is in the earliest manuscripts that we have extant, in the earliest manuscripts on the book of Mark, this scripture is not in those early manuscripts. Now, why do I say that? Because those denominations that believe you should take up snakes cite this particular scripture as their implication as to why. But once again, as we read this scripture, it doesn't say what they say it says. Okay, you can imply that from this scripture, but it doesn't say it flat out. But the other thing to keep in mind is the original manuscripts of Mark do not have this particular scripture in them. So this is what I mean about getting to a study, a real study of your Bible to help you understand why there are so many different denominations in Christianity out there. And the more you study, the Bible says, you will show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. This will give you a greater understanding, a greater knowledge. God isn't making it easy for us, folks, for a reason, and we'll discuss that on another program. But I want to make it clear to you that a lot of the Bible can be read for what it says, but other parts of the Bible, you need to have knowledge about textual criticism, historical criticism, canonicity, as to what book should even actually be in the Bible. Because some of the books in the Catholic Bible say things that are in opposition to the books that we have in our Bible here at the Church of God International. And when I say our Bible, I'm talking about the agreed upon Bible of most of Protestant Christianity, not the apocryphal works, as they're called, that are in the Catholic Bible. Now, as we continue to talk a little bit about understanding your Bible, there are certain blocks that you may have in your understanding or interpretation of Scripture. One of these blocks is a historical block. So you need to understand biblical history, or when you read the Bible, you may be missing some things. I cite the book of Jonah as an example of this. It's only 4 chapters long. What you read in Jonah is that God wanted Jonah to deliver a message to the city of Nineveh, and it was a message about repentance. Now, Jonah flees from God. He tries to escape, and he gets on a ship, and he ends up in the water, and he's swallowed into the belly of a great fish or whale. Now, why did Jonah try to flee from delivering that message to Nineveh? Well, the story doesn't explicitly tell us why, but if you know history, you will understand that Nineveh was the major city in the Assyrian kingdom. The Assyrians were fighting against Israel and eventually overcoming Israel and taking them captive. So Jonah did not want to go into the city of his enemies, despite the fact that God wanted him to go there. That gives you a greater understanding of the Scripture when you know the history behind the scenes of the Scripture. So again, you don't want to have those historical blocks. You're going to need to take a look at ancient history as you study your Bible. Another block is the cultural block. And I'll give you a scripture to explain this. I'm going to turn over to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. So let me talk to you a little bit about Matthew 12 and verse 40. In Matthew 12 and verse 40, we read the following. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I believe in a literal 3 days and 3 nights, and the Bible makes it clear that it was 3 days and 3 nights. Many Christian churches today say that Jonah was in the fish's belly maybe 3 days and 3 nights, but Christ was only in the heart of the earth or in the grave for parts of 3 days and 3 nights. That's how you get a Friday sunset death of Jesus being put in the grave and a Sunday resurrection of Jesus. But your scriptures say 3 days and 3 nights. Here's the cultural block I'm talking about. At this time, amongst the Jews within their culture, they felt you had to be in the grave 3 whole days and 3 whole nights before they could confirm that you were truly dead. They believed it was possible that during that 3 day, 3 night period, you might come back to consciousness in some way and live. Now, keeping that cultural belief in mind, take a look at John chapter 11, John chapter 11 and verse 39. It confirms what I'm telling you about this scripture in Matthew. In John 11 and verse 39, we know of Jesus' resurrection of Lazarus. Notice what we read in John 11 and 39. Jesus said, "Take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, you know the story, but let me remind you of it. Jesus delayed in going to see Lazarus when he was sick. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. Why? Why did he wait over 3 days and three nights before he went to see Lazarus? Because he knew the cultural point I just made to you, that within this culture at that time, people did not consider you dead until 3 days and three nights had elapsed. When Christ went there after 3 days and three nights on the fourth day, and he made Lazarus rise from the dead, everyone was astonished, and some began to believe in him because they knew what he did was a miracle. If he had done it before 3 days and three nights, there would have been doubters in that crowd. People would have said he was not in the grave 3 days and three nights. They were well aware of that cultural nuance that people reading Scripture today are not aware of. When you understand that fact, you then know that the idea of Jesus going into the grave on a Friday night and rising on a Sunday morning is a pagan survival from the worship of pagan gods, ladies and gentlemen. And when you begin to understand those things, the Bible becomes much clearer to you. One other block I will mention briefly is the linguistic block. Again, various words coming from Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. When we translate them into English, we sometimes don't have a word-for-word translation. That's why we need to look at what those original Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic words really meant when we study our Bibles. In the remaining time that I have left, I want to remind you of that literature and CD I offered at the top of the program. We want you to get the booklet, How to Study Your Bible. It will open up details and nuances that you need to know as you embark on studying your Bible. We also want you to get that CD, actually two CDs, The Reliability of the New Testament, number one and number two. Both of these CDs will show you that your New Testament is a reliable source for doctrine and for reproof in what you should do in your life. To get both those items, call 1-888-578-8791 or visit our website, www.cgi.org.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.